You're an ice cream cone. You're a lollipop. You're a baby chick. You're a pogo stick. You're a magic trick. You're a spinning top. You're special.
Believe it or not, here we are back with another Neighborhood Archive podcast after a long hiatus. Once again, as we've said in the past, we're going to keep doing these and we're going to do them more regularly. And then we run into these life gets in the way situations and we go on hiatus for a while. 100% on my shoulders. I take the blame there, but I'm happy to have Aaron back tonight as my co-host for the Neighborhood Archive podcast. Aaron, glad to have you here.
Glad to be here. Thanks again, Tim. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Tonight we are we've got a repeat guest tonight on the podcast, and our guest tonight is a name you may remember from an earlier episode we did for a show he was doing at the time called Danny Joe's Treehouse, and that effort has evolved somewhat over the past several months since we last spoke. But tonight we have Danny LeBrec with us. Danny, it's a pleasure to have you with us as well.
It's great to be back with you.
What we wanted to do really was kind of take a sidetrack from the typical setup of our podcast, because typically we're talking about Mr. Rogers, we're talking about the neighborhood, we're talking about, you know, Fred Rogers and his career in some way, and in a way indirectly, you know, we are this topic tonight is related to Fred. As you know, Danny's backstory, as we covered in a previous episode of the podcast, is very, very much influenced by Fred Rogers and his career. And Danny has a project going right now that is about a week into a Kickstarter campaign. And we can get into some more of the details here in a few minutes. But really, the purpose of tonight was to have a conversation with Danny in support of what he's doing. I think, as I said through Facebook a few days ago, I've supported some Kickstarter campaigns in the past from musicians and different publications, and they're things I'm a fan of. But I think this may be an example of a Kickstarter campaign that I am behind wholeheartedly in everything from just the concept to the way it's delivered to the individual behind it. I feel like this is something that I do and should be supporting wholeheartedly. As Danny, as he says, is making an effort to bring a human voice back to children's media. And I think that's a perfect way to describe what he's doing. And I'll let him talk more about that. So Danny, what I'd like you to start with, if you would, is just describe for us what's going on right now and how this is different from what you were doing with the other adaptations, I guess you could say, or other versions of your Treehouse program.
Sure. So we're about a weekend to the Kickstarter, and the new program's called Treehouse with Danny LeBrec. It's a reboot of Danny Joe's Treehouse. And I guess the biggest thing that's different about what I'm doing with this program is it's absolutely not a show. On the surface, it looks like a children's television program from the 1950s, going way back to Kukla, Fran, and Ollie and the Children's Corner. It's a canvas set, single camera setup, very simple hand puppets. But I'm not acting at all. I'm offering my true self, which can be challenging on screen. But I've been working towards that for, honestly, coming up on 20 years now. The other thing that's going to be very different about this, something that no other program has done to date, to the degree that I'm going to do it, is in addition to looking through the passive screen and connecting with the individual child and their parent and caregiver, it's going to alternate with corresponding video conferences with groups of adult caregivers, the parents of the children, in real time. So we're going to, you know, we have the technology to literally talk through the screen now. And after I deliver content addressing a topic, a complex topic, we'll be able to talk about the objectives and how it's affecting the children at home within, you know, small groups, And then the parents are going to be able to influence, the whole family will be able to influence future programs. So there's a real give and take happening. So I'm going way back to reclaim something that I feel got lost in the past, but I'm bringing it into the future and trying to do it in a way that's very accessible to families, regardless of income levels, social, economic levels. I want it to be accessible.
So the segments that you're filming, you know, I know you said it's technically not a program, not, you know, like what you would perceive to be a television program or even really a web series. It sounds like it's going to be, you know, segments of videos followed by, you know, ways to apply that. Am I correct in the way I'm understanding?
Yes. But it is, you know, I'm using a format that was developed by, Fred and other pioneers, mm-hmm. of introducing a concept in real life and then abstracting that concept in make believe, mm-hmm. and then bringing it back out into reality and applying it. Mm-hmm. So it does feel like a show, you know, it's still engaging in that way. But it's much deeper, I think, than what's currently being offered to children, understanding that there are lots of really good programs out there. But I think there are limitations within what I like to call the game of commercial television, and now to a degree with streaming and apps, there's some restrictions that are there so that you can reach a broad audience and have the funding.
Yeah. So for a person who has gone to YouTube and searched for Danny Joe's Treehouse and they find an episode or two, How is what you've done in the past, how will that be similar? How will that be different from the footage and from the video format of what you're putting together now?
Well, Danny Joe's Treehouse was very much nature-based. And there was social-emotional aspects to it. But with Treehouse with Danny LeBrack, and by the way, it's strange to... to keep saying my own name, but that was something that Elliot encouraged me to do. Mm. You know, I'm offering myself, but it's just social emotional stuff. The look and feel of it, it's to hook more the parents than the kids. It's not something that Elliot and I have talked about a lot is. To connect with a child, you don't have to have a thematic environment. You can offer your true self and connect if that's something that you've been trained in and something that you have within you. But I've tried doing that with just a white background. And I think it's kind of like when I practice this stuff and do research at schools and cafes and other venues where there are families, you know, heads kind of tilt to the side sometimes, the parents' heads, you know, because once I start talking about the deeper issues, not directly, but abstracting it through therapeutic puppetry, you know, people try to figure out what's going on here. You know, I appreciate what's happening. My kids are engaged, but what exactly is this? So I think by putting on the bow tie and having the colorful canvas set, I think it just makes it a little easier to step in and allow for that deeper conversation that I that I want to have. Mm-hmm. So it's very heavy social emotional, and the content, you know, I'm looking at the everyday daily dramas that affect young children. And you know, my target's 3 to 5, but I'm not staying just within that. I think a broad range of children can enjoy what I'm doing, and with their parents. I guess what it comes down to is there's a lot of babysitters right now in media, and they're wonderful. I'm just making the transition now out of being a full-time stay-at-home parent. Just starting to do, you know, a few days here and there at different schools, but from time to time, when you're home and you're with the kids, and you've done all of the outdoor play that you can possibly handle, and you just need, you know, 15 minutes to get the dishes done or just center yourself, if there's that trusted program that you know is going to be good for your child, you've watched it before and you know what it is and you trust it, I think it's great to be able to let your kids look at a program on through the television or through an app or streaming video and step away. But that's not what this program is. This is more about co-viewing. This is working with the whole family. My goal is to be the parent's co-host. I'm a facilitator for their conversation. So the daily dramas that we'll be addressing, you know, separation anxiety and things like that, we'll get into that. But what I was saying earlier, we can also talk about more complex things. When I was at the Fred Rogers Center doing my research a few summers ago, I was very interested in how I could safely address topics like gun violence and how it affects children in first and secondary experiences, and address that through media without overwhelming or adding stress to a young child's life. And I discovered what I like to think about as a process of abstracting the complicated through play to make it accessible. I think that's what Fred did in the neighborhood of Make Believe. And I think there are shows that do that to a degree. But again, you know, once we're in Make Believe, we need to come out and apply it to real life. So these building blocks that we're giving families and children for, you know, managing those overwhelming emotions and not hurting ourselves, not hurting anyone else, they'll stay with us into adulthood. It's not something that just gets left behind in childhood and becomes nostalgia.
Right.
So there are a lot of very big goals here. And these 22 episodes, it's an experiment, with the content and with the interactivity, to see if this, my hypothesis is that if it'll really work. And if it does, and I meet my goal, everything will be in place. I'll have a permanent studio space in my home. It's not just my daughter's bedroom. They have the best light in our whole house. So every once in a while on the weekend, my poor daughter's, you know, if you've watched any of the emotional guidance video tests on YouTube, on Danny Joe's Treehouse YouTube page, from time to time, you can hear my girls in the background. We want to come back in our room. So, you know, I'll have a space in the basement with proper lighting and proper sound. And, you know, I'll have fast internet so I can interact with the parents. And I won't need much more after that. You know, I can produce things on a regular basis because as it is, I'm barely getting content out, and I keep seeing these things happening in our world that I know I can help address and support families in the same way that Fred, you know, supported my family and your families. But there's nobody doing that anymore, not in the way that Fred did. And, you know, I've said this a thousand times in the past, look, there's never going to be another Fred Rogers, but it's time. We need the next. We need the next human voice.
I was just curious, Danny, if there was anything in particular, and if so, what was it that finally made you say to yourself, we got to get this out here bigger and better. We need more live human beings and more direct one-on-one human communication when it comes to children's programming and entertainment. Any one particular thing where you said, okay, that's enough?
Yeah. So the, you know, I mentioned, you know, being at the Rogers Center and thinking about gun violence. Obviously this is something that's been going on forever, you know, throughout humanity. But, you know, you write about these things and you research these things and, you know, until it really connects at home. So not that long ago in Baltimore, and we are less than a mile and a half from where all of the protests were happening and the small period of riots, which on the news, it made it seem like it was that our city was a, a cruel place full of hate, and it's not. I wish they would have covered the stories of how families came together and the community came together and people were working out problems with their words, because they were, and it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But the children that I work with through schools and just kids that I know in the neighborhood, kids that play with my children, they were affected by these things through firsthand experiences and, like I said earlier, secondary experiences. And you could see it happening in the classrooms and on the playgrounds, kids using dramatic play to get young children, using dramatic play to act out these scenarios in a very abstract way that is easy to look past. But if you're listening, like Fred said, if you really listen to children, you can see exactly what they're thinking about, what they're feeling.
Right.
And that was it. That was enough for me. That was one of the big moments where I said, I can't keep waiting to get permission from someone else,
right,
to do this thing. You know, I write to people all the time in the main industry and in the independent producers and people doing new work on through online media. And, you know, people are supportive, but no one says, yes, come with me. I'll help you make this happen. It's just something I've got to do on my own. But really, you know, I need support.
And
I wish I didn't need the financial support, but because I feel like that becomes a question. Like, is this guy for real? Or is he just trying to make money off of something that's happening?
Well, and I think, you know, you can liken that back to, the late 1960s when there was, funding up in the air for public broadcasting at the time. Nobody really knew what was going on at that point with it. It was kind of a new thing. Hopefully this all, works out for you like it did then, you know?
I hope so. Yeah, I really do hope so. You know, history, it's constant. It's constantly repeating itself. Mm-hmm. It really is. And again, I don't know about you guys and how the listeners feel about it, but I don't see that level of support anymore. There hasn't been anything close to what Fred did for us. And, David Newell talks about how, lots of local stations still show the original program, and it's streaming. And it's out there, and he says it's like Shakespeare, you know, it's timeless. And I absolutely agree with him. It's true. He's there for us. His presence is everywhere, you know, online. You know, we've all seen the quotes going through Twitter feeds and mm-hmm. and Facebook when something, you know, really serious happens in our culture. But I think there's something about knowing that there is a living human being out there that you can connect with. Fred was always accessible to us. Whether or not we always knew that when we were kids, but as we got older and we reached out, you know, it wasn't a show. It wasn't pretend. You know, he meant everything that he was saying, and the program was so layered. You know, as a child, you get so much from it, but looking back at it as an adult, there's so much more there that still applies to your life as an adult.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, absolutely.
We've got to have more of that. And there's so many people that feel so strongly that that's just not possible. You know, Fred was, there's never going to be another Fred Rogers, and that's absolutely true. But I've said it before in the past. I can't accept the idea that means we're done now.
Yeah, you know? Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and speaking of watching the program and being a kid and that type of thing, too, I was just curious, too, if there was a moment in particular that you remember while watching The Neighborhood. You know, now, especially after the research that you've done, maybe it drummed up some memories and that type of thing. Is there a moment that you remember watching that growing up that you realize now was a poignant moment in your life now because of the human connection that Fred had with his viewers?
He had that gift of, no matter where you were at in life, no matter what random episode was on, you know, if it was a repeat or if it was the daily program, you know, something in there would connect with you. You know, it felt like he was really talking to you, and he knew exactly what was happening to you in your life.
Yeah.
So there's thousands of moments like that. He's the extra adult voice that my family needed. And I think, you know, the simplest thing was just, you know, at the end of the show and, you know, throughout the show, when he would just pause and say, "You're special. You matter. You know, I care about you. I'm proud of you." Just those little tiny things, just pausing for a moment to give that to another human being. Well, kids need to hear that, especially today. And parents are there, but you know, like with my folks were so loving and so caring and so strong, but sometimes to be present all the time, you know, adults are affected by these big things that are happening too. You know, they're coping as well.
Yeah.
And having someone to model behavior and maybe, you know, give a little backup, a little support, and say things like, you know, you're more important than a phone. You know, I care about you more than my phone.
Right.
Just to hear that little tiny tidbit floating around, you know, on all of these screens, that we use. It's wonderful for a child to hear that, but the adults hearing that message too and going, "Oh gosh, you know, when was the last time I said that? When was the last time I said something like that to my kid?
You know, and any of the cartoons can say it, but it's different when it comes from a human being on the television
right.
or on the screen or whatever that particular yes. medium might be, even just spoken word.
Absolutely, yeah, I absolutely agree. I really do. You know, there's something about seeing the human eyes coming through that screen, that connection. That, uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Fred talked about, you know, talking across the holy ground. You know, you can. It was real. There's a big difference between real and make believe.
Mm-hmm. Dan, let's talk about your Kickstarter campaign. You know, this is the you know, like you said, a week or so into it. You know, and the URL, the location, the address for this Kickstarter, it's kind of lengthy. So rather than recite it all out, I can tell you the easiest way to find it is to go to Kickstarter and just do a search for Danny Treehouse, and I guarantee you the first one that's going to come up is yours. So if anybody would like to take a look at that page, that's an easy way to find it. Let's talk a little bit about that. What would you say to someone who is listening and thinking, well, you know, maybe I could support this. Maybe, you know, I don't know much about it. What would you say to address potential backers out there of your campaign?
You know, so in the past, trying to figure out what my audience is, and recently I just had a conversation with a woman, who, saw what I was doing and contacted me through LinkedIn and said, you know, you need to think about yourself as a brand. You know, you're not Danny LeBrec. You're a brand. If you want to make money, you know, you have to market yourself as a product. And I don't want to do that. You know, that's the problem. That's the issue, I think. I think that's what happens. I think that's why, you know, there are so many amazing people in media, educators and developers and real people that come up with these amazing, beautiful ideas. And I wish that they were the ones on screen delivering them. But, you know, if you want to have the voice in the game, you've got to compromise and play by the rules. And we get our cartoons and we get our live action, hosts every once in a while in the U.S., but, you know, essentially they're live action cartoons with no real emotional range. With the one exception, I think, of Scott Sampson from Dinosaur Train. That guy is exactly the way he is on and off screen. I've worked with him through the Field Museum. He's a wonderful, nice guy, and he endorsed the project. But, you know, he's not dealing with social emotional stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's a paleontologist. And
right.
That's his thing. But I would, my, the people that I'm trying to connect with are the people that I want to serve. So I'm talking to the parents and the caregivers and the educators. You know your child. You know what your child needs. And hopefully, you know, you don't have to use the screen that often to connect with your child. But when you do, you know, think about what you want to be on these screens. Think about what's happening, what's going to be happening in the next 20 years. Look back 20 years in the past. There's no way we could have anticipated what our media would be and how our children would be interacting with it. Now think into the future. I feel like we're right on the edge. We're at this tipping point of how kids are going to interact with screens and what they're going to be like as adults. And there's got to be a human voice in those screens. We're finally at a point where we can connect, you know, all these little invisible lines that we make around the world to divide each other. And way back when we used to just sit around the campfires, you know, we would talk about these wonderful stories about, you know, why it was so important not to hurt each other and be kind to each other and love each other. And that's for the greater good. And then in the same breath, watch out for those guys. Watch out for the other ones. The technology we have today has the potential of taking that away because there's no division. We can really get to know each other beyond what we're just being told. And there's got to be some real people in there in those screens reminding us of what is truly important, you know, what's essential. What's invisible to the eye? Our humanity. It's not there as much as it should be. It's not nearly close to what it should be. That's what I'm doing.
Well, I think I speak for both Aaron and myself when I say we're behind you 100% on this. I wish you nothing but the best with this project because I've known you a little while and it's very clear your passion for what you do. And if one thing doesn't work out, you don't just give up and throw in the towel. You keep pushing and you keep pushing for what you believe in and what you have a talent for. Your talent, your knowledge, your ability to reach children and to reach parents alike, I think is very, I would almost say rare. It's, you don't find that combination very often. And I think what you have is something very unique and something that I truly hope works out because I think it's something that's very much needed among, you know, our children's media, which goes back to what you said, bringing the human voice back to children's media. So again, I think I speak for Aaron as well when we wish you the best. And, for those listening, I really urge you, I don't want this to sound like a telethon here or a fundraiser, but essentially that's what it is. I wanted to give Danny a little bit of a push from my side of things or from the neighborhood archive side of things for something that I think we should all truly be supporting as those who grew up with a human voice in our own children's media as we were children and someone we hold dear and someone we appreciate the message of. I truly believe that Danny is carrying this on. Much as what Fred did in the past, I think Danny is reaching a new generation in his own way. So the best of luck to you. I really hope to see this work out, and I look forward to seeing what the future holds for Treehouse with Danny LeBrec.
Absolutely.
Thank you, gentlemen. That I can't tell you how much that all means to me. Thank you so much.